A year ago, I never thought I'd be here, you know? Throughout the year, I got baptized, which is crazy. And now I'm here sitting in front of the church, just sharing, you know? And all glory to God for that. And just during this week, I remember last week, Sunday, I was in such a frenzy. I was like, Pastor Paul, Gabriella, you know, what topic am I going to speak on? I'm like, there's so much to talk about. What is it? And then they simply just grounded me, and they're like, hey, Tyler, like, go to the Lord, man. Like, you know, you don't need to overthink it too much. So I went to the Lord. I prayed a bit, and what God put on my heart was something's personal to me, which are just the topic of today, which are life's details, trials, and challenges. So if you guys want, you guys can turn with me to Luke chapter 10. We're going to be reading from verses 38 to 42. All right. Hope everyone's there. And so from verse 38, it says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" So there's these verses here. Martha was probably, you know, preparing dinner, and Mary was at the feet of Jesus just listening to him teach. And Martha was just a little upset, you know. She's doing all the work. Mary, you know, just chilling with Jesus, hearing what he has to say, and believed that she'd be helping her, so she went to Jesus. But what did Jesus say? He replied saying that there should only be one thing to be worried about. And Mary, in that case, had come to realize it, and it would not be taken from her. And what would that be? It would be the kingdom of God. So there's this handbook that Pastor Paul hands out called the Haley's Bible Handbook. And this is what it had to say about those verses. It says, "This incident is recorded to show that Jesus thought that focusing on the word of the Lord and growing spiritually are far more important than all the busy work that we allow to get in the way of developing our relationship with God. Jesus wants us to put aside some of the things that fill our day so that we could rest quietly in his presence, abiding in him and his word." So everything in this world are the details that Jesus speaks of in these verses. It could be, you know, for some of the students here, like exams, projects, our job, finances, even, you know, some of the hurt that we go through. And details are important, but at the end of the day, it shouldn't take priority over the Lord and your relationship with God and that walk. If you look at the life of Jesus, for example, Jesus lived for the kingdom of God and for the purpose and calling that God gave him. And God supplied his every need. But was his walk perfect here? Did he get some opposition? Of course he did. His challenges? Yeah, some people wanted to stone him at some point, and he kind of had to slip away, right? However, even though Jesus is the priority in our life, the details of life are still very real to us, right? For the students, we do need to study well and work hard. When we're at our job, we do have to be diligent, represent God in a good way by doing so. And for, you know, the adults here with families, we have to take care of our worldly responsibilities, right? But the thing we have to keep in mind above all, yes, keeping Jesus is a priority, but keep in mind that the Lord loves you and will walk with you if you allow him into every detail of your life. Jesus is priority. We do need to take care of what we need to take care of, but they're not separated from your walk with the Lord. Throughout my day, what I started practicing over the couple months was, I'd say, for example, at my job, I'd get stuck. And earlier I was talking about my job, and there's just basically two of us in my whole department that take care of it. And management doesn't really know about it. My team doesn't really know about it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Who am I going to ask for help? There's nobody to ask for help. And I'm like, oh yeah, there's the Lord. The Lord knows everything. The Lord knows my job too. So I just pray, close my eyes, invite the Lord into all those details of my life, every single challenge that comes my way. And, you know, he always comes through. God is not going to leave us high and dry at any point, although there are times where it does feel that way, where we're alone. But if you read the Bible constantly reassures us that the Lord is always with us. And just a little testimony about what happened recently was that my mother, she worked at a job as a personal support worker and a behavioral support worker at this long-term care home for about 18 years. And she dealt with people who suffer with dementia, schizophrenia, mental illnesses of that nature. And she was a great, diligent, hard worker, really showed the love of Christ. But unfortunately, some rumors were spread about her that management believed, and unfortunately she was let go, right? And it was really hard on us in the family, because in the house it's just myself and both of my parents. So my parents came up to me and they're like, Tyler, we need you to step up financially. And I was like, oh, got you. And yeah, I work at the bank. It pays good, you know, covers my bills, able to save a little bit. But compared to, you know, my mother with like 18 years of experience, you know, a certain amount of income comes with that too, right? And so I started working so much overtime, like 10 to 12 hours every single day, to the point where I was like overworking myself, and just staring at a screen, like for so long. And then a couple of weeks ago, like it just all hit me at once. Severe migraine, headaches, couldn't even go out, right? And I was stuck in the dark. And I really took it upon myself to help out in that way, right? And it kept going like that, kept going like that. And then I prayed about it. And then the Lord kind of put it on my heart. He's like, hey, are you working out a solution and then asking for help? Are you asking for me and walking by, you know, what I inspire in your heart? And I was like, oh yeah, that's probably a good idea. And so I went to the Word, and yeah, it just reassured me of that as well. And I just went straight to the Lord. I said, Lord, physically, you know, I can't keep up with this, you know, like, it's taking its toll on me. Like, Lord, if you want me to persevere, I'll persevere, but I humbly surrender this situation and I give it to you. And, you know, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, so much. He acted really quick. In about 2 weeks, it was so unlikely. I applied to this job like a year ago and I didn't hear from them for the longest time. I just thought, you know, dead resume, it was gone. And then it got back to me like 2 weeks after I prayed, and they're like, hey, are you still interested? You could start at the end of March. I was like, what? It's like, no way, this is crazy. And so, and it pays significantly more of what I get currently paid, like all glory to God for that, right? And so now I could comfortably help out with home and everything, and, you know, as well as for my, provide for myself and my bills. But it doesn't even stop there. Not even a week later, my mother also, you know, she networked over the years. She was a great example at work. People reached out there like, hey, come work for me. And now she's getting positions that she specialized in and it pays way more. So ultimately what looked like a terrible trial and was stressing me out kind of worked out for our good in the end, right? Sometimes trials could be so blinding and so stressful. And when we take it upon ourselves without the Lord, we kind of get crushed under its weight, right? When the Lord is just there all the time and he's just extending his arm out, just saying, you know, all you have to do is grab it. And most of the time, some of our ego, sometimes we have precedent from like what we look at our parents and how they handle situations. We kind of do the same. But the Bible says in everything, like, we can turn to God. We can look for him to help in every single part of our life, our spiritual life. And you know, the things of this world, are, as I said before, are not separate. They kind of work together. And just in saying that testimony, you know, I kind of learned that There is no really like a formula to life or Christian life. There are things you have to abide by, but everybody's walk and experiences and trials, although may be similar, are specifically unique to you and the Lord. Which is, you know, think about it, it's absolutely amazing. There's, what, like 8 million people here on this planet? And each of us could have a very unique and special experience between yourself and the Lord and just have that relationship, right? But what remains consistent is God's love, His word, His promises, the plan He has for your life, and that He is always with you and with me. And, you know, for many of us, if not all of us, in life we've been through some hard times, right? And it's important to remember that when we go through trials or when we're stressing about the details, we can often look up at the sky, shake our fists, and be like, God, why? You know, if you look at the story of Job, right? You could be like, that's a great example. But it's important to remember, if your life is surrendered to the Lord and your heart is genuinely in tune with that, is that God does not test us out of malice or hate, but lovingly tests us to grow our character in Christ. And here on earth, people can oftentimes, I did especially, make associations with the Lord and people in authority, like your parents, managers at work. So when they mistreat you, or you know, your manager at work gives you a hard time, gives you extra work because they don't like you, right? Or let's say your parents are like punishing you unjustly because they're in a bad mood, right? We could make that association with authoritative figures like the Lord, that I'm going through a hard time, the Lord must be punishing me, I must be doing something wrong. But that's never the case. If you love something, if you like love a pet, or you know, have children of your own, you can see that everything you do out of love would never be to hurt. Your intention is never to hurt, right? But challenges that come our way are to grow our spiritual walk in God. And God's testing, you know, always comes in the form of like a trial or a problem. A few months ago, I can't remember who, maybe it was Vince, but we talked about how there are a lot of parallels with working out and with our Christian walk with the Lord, right? For my gym brother and sisters here. If you think about it, like, you're in God's gym, right? You're going through a trial. You're on that bench press. The trials are that weight. You're pumping it out yourself. You're like, okay, I got this, I got this. And then you're reaching to failure, right? You're like, oh my gosh, I can't push it anymore. Well, what do? When you can't get to, when you're at that point, you turn to the Lord, right? You're like, Lord, I need help. I can't push it all the way up. And the Lord's behind you like the spotter, and He's like, I got you. And He pulls it up. He rocks the weight for you, right? And coming with that, like working out, you need a good diet, right? And what's your diet? The Bible. and your prayer life, right? Your relationship with God. And your spiritual muscles grow. You get strong. And you're equipped, you know, if that same situation, that same weight comes your way, you could lift it with the Lord again, you know? And God could also use you in a way, where if you see somebody else struggling with that same weight, God could use you and be like, hey, go spot them, help them pull up that last rep, you know? And, yeah, I just thought it was a great parallel. I always think about it, how they're so similar and the parallels that exist between them. And God can also use what the devil intends to hurt us with for good, such as our trauma, right? Trauma is a big part of a lot of our lives. You know, it kind of, for some of us, especially for me, it kind of gave me precedent to how I responded to a lot of situations and how I reacted to them as well, right? And that could be unconscious or conscious thing for the most part. And the thing about trauma is we kind of protect ourselves. We kind of avoid it because we don't want to relive that hurt, right? But It could be things like an accident that happened, something that happened to us, passing of a loved one. I mean, the list goes on and on, right? All of us perceive and absorb situations in a different way that could be long-lasting in our life. But the Lord wants us free from the chains that prevent us from freely and openly experiencing the peace of God and what Pastor Paul was mentioning earlier, the fruits of the Spirit, right? And we have to ask ourselves, what's our first reaction to when something happens or in the face of a reoccurring problem or even trauma that I mentioned? For myself, I'm always guilty of making my problems bigger than God sometimes. Look at the testimony I shared. Instead of immediately turning to the Lord, I took it upon myself, work overtime, get that money, help my parents out, kind of taking it all upon myself. But rather, what's important is we should be turning to the Lord for that help, that guidance, that wisdom, instead of creating that solution and then trying to execute it in our own strength. And, you know, it could be we have it in reverse that way, if we seek the solution first and then ask for help rather than the other way. And sometimes as well, we could put God in that box, you know, believing that, hey, or his abilities in that box, I mean, believing that, okay, he can take care of that 90% of my life, but you see this 10%? I'm in control of this 10%. You see this 10%? God, there's no way God can heal this 10% of my life. And if that's the case, we have to be straight up with the Lord. Just tell him as it is. Be like, hey, be like, Lord, I believe, you know, like you got this 90% covered. But see, there's remaining 10%. Please help me grow. Please help me grow in this area of my faith. Just to be completely surrendered to you, to completely die to myself, to let this go, and to follow you. Right? And we have to do that with a sincere heart. It's always important. Last week, Sunday, Pastor Paul talked about our heart's intention, right? When we pray, is it for praise? Is it because we have to say it? What is the true reason why we're praying our prayer? Is it truly a call out for help? Or is it more of like a legalistic thing, like because we have to? And yeah, so always ask the Lord. Be like, Lord, can you reveal that in my heart? If you're not too, for myself, like I'm not too emotionally intelligent. Sometimes I'm feeling a type of way. I have no idea why. It takes me a little bit. I go to the Lord and the Holy Spirit kind of shows me what I'm going through, right? But we have to be sincere in that way and invite the Lord into, like, as I mentioned before, into every difficulty in your life, everything. The things you can do, the things you can't do. The Lord, especially your spiritual life, if you're struggling with things in your spiritual life, like the Lord is not estranged from any of those details. And so when we pray, we do so with belief and with faith. So Bible says God is omniscient, he's all-knowing, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere all at once, and he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful. If you look at Hebrews 1:11, it gives definition to that faith, right? It says, if you want a minute to turn to it, chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And also if you look at Romans 10:17, I'm sorry, I know I got you off in every way. Let me turn to it as well. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, just reading that verse, what works synonymously or together with prayer is, of course, and it's equally important, is God's word, right? Since we're in Romans, if you could just quickly turn, Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2. Well, actually, I'll say Romans 12, 1 to 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so, a year ago, I was really going through it. I was ready to give up on life. I was like deep in condemnation and sin, in self-pity, that's a dangerous trap. And a lot of like my past and hurt and trauma. And I kind of identified myself in that, right? And, you know, of course, like fixated on all of my issues and not really seeing past any of it. And what really helped me, like God loved me so much, I thought my life was a done deal, you know? I thought like, this is it, I'm too deep in what I'm in, I'm going to hell, you know? There's no point in trying. But miraculously, God called out to me and he said he loved me. And he placed people in my life at that time that pointed me to the Word of God, that pointed me to prayer. And my heart was so desperate for help. I mean, like I tried so many solutions the world had to offer, but they were just temporary fixes, if anything. And then at the end of the day, there's like this huge gap that's left, right? And then I came to know that these gaps are kind of like puzzle pieces in my heart, right? And that the Word of God and the Lord and the love of God and that relationship with God fit perfectly, like puzzle pieces, you know, inside the gaps that kind of complete the picture. And coming to know that and renewing my mind is through the Word of God and through others that share the love of God is what transformed my life. And in the beginning, a question that I asked was like, well, how do you renew your mind, right? You read the verse and it just says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I was like, well, how do you renew your mind? Of course, it's, you know, the Word of God, but it goes a little bit deeper than that. The more I've walked with the Lord and experienced him, it's by seeing life through the lens of God's Word and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, like how he inspires you, how he speaks to you, you know, in ways that, you know, is unique to yourself, rather than perceiving it through, like what I did, like my current experiences or my past experiences, the hurt I've been through, the trauma, my personal biases as well. That's a big one. That's a lot of self involved in that. And what can affect us a lot as well are the opinions of others, especially the loved ones or people we hold in high regard, right? And I spent my time just, thank God, you know, I was really doing Bible study every day with these beautiful people and helping me answer questions. We were praying over my life. And eventually I just saw God begin to work these things in and out of me. And a lot of these, you know, of course I have my doubts. I'm like, oh, it's too good to be true. Am I fooling myself? But I came to a point where it's so real. I realized I was just hanging on to these painful parts of my life and these details I just really needed to let go. And God lovingly just took them away from me, right? And through the surrendering my life, You released me on all these issues I was so fixated on. And, you know, like the verse says, you told me that I'm a new creation in Christ and that old things have passed away and all things have become new. And, you know, sometimes we will slip up. I mean, obviously, I still do sometimes. And immediately, you know, we go to the Lord, ask for forgiveness and such. But it's important to remember that our past, how we used to identify ourselves in sin and condemnation and stuff is no longer a thing, right? When God sees us, he sees the sacrifice on the cross. He sees Jesus. And, you know, ultimately there's no work we can do that will even come close to be that equivalent. And so when we read that we're a new creation in Christ, understand that your life from the point you accepted Christ, the point that you made him savior of your life and genuinely and truly surrendered to him, that the Lord now sees Jesus on the cross and no longer that old self that you may condemn. And even, you know, Romans 8, that we've been reading that first verse, that there's therefore no condemnation, right? That the Lord no longer holds things against you. But at the end of the day, sin is sin. We do have to repent in it. We can't get comfortable in that cycle or that expectation, right? As I mentioned before, it's about heart's reflection. You look at your heart. Are you doing something and being like, oh, God will forgive me, I'm all good? Or when you repent, is it genuine repentance? Like, are you sorry? And if you're not sorry, go tell the Lord. Be like, Lord, I don't feel sorry for this. Help me, you know, like, where's the conviction? And just let that Holy Spirit inside of you really just grip your heart and do the work. Because at the end of the day, we can't do anything in our own strength, right? It's the Lord that guides us, the Lord that convicts us and brings us to that repentance. And as well, some encouraging verses that helped me and kept me focused on the Lord when I was going through all these details, problems, all these challenges, is if you want to turn with me to, it's a New Testament as well, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. And this was a big one for me. And on how I kind of began to shift my mindset of like dark things towards the things of God. So it says here, if you're all with me, chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things that you have learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. So when I read these verses, I think about keeping my mind on good things, on heavenly things. Obviously, things are going to get in your way that are going to make you anxious, depressed, exhausted, overwhelmed is a huge one, and we're constantly going to be subject to those experiences while we're here on earth. But a great way, verses, you know, this verse works in tandem with the Romans verse we just read, is to constantly renew your mind with the Word. How do you keep your mind on good things? By reading the promises of God, by believing the promises of God, by keeping that relationship strong with the Lord, by going in your closet to that quiet place, spending that time and building that relationship with him, right? That way God can constantly be filled in your head. All those anxieties, those troubles, those struggles will constantly be circulating. Obviously, yes, you know, we're here with the human experience, but by building your mind, creating that fortitude and guarding your mind with God's word could equip you well to deal with whatever comes your way or whatever may have happened to you. And just taking a few steps back, I think it's important to ask ourselves, how do we cope in the face of life's problems or details or even the trauma that we go through when it hits us so hard? Do we, you know, go partying? Do we go clubbing with our friends? Do we go hide away and watch pornography? Do we get drunk or use substances to kind of numb our feeling? Do we binge eat our feelings away? You know, I in the past, I went to the world for those temporary fixes. But of course, they're never long lasting, right? The issue never goes away. And just, I came to the realization that there is no substitution for that peace of God, that love of God, for God's, you know, loving and genuine intervention in your life to bring a long-lasting solution, or if not a solution, the perseverance and strength to deal with it, right? And running away from the Lord and to the world will keep you in that cycle of bondage and that cycle that keeps reoccurring, and the more you indulge in it is the longer, the deeper that you sink in it, right? And someone in church once told me, and this always stayed with me, is that when you indulge in these things, it leaves you unsatisfied but always wanting more. And it's very, very dangerous, right? The devil knows our flesh is always pulling us and gnawing at us. The devil knows what makes us tick, right? What we like, what will really agitate us, right? Which is so important that we stay in tune with the Word, we stay in tune with God, so those fruits of the Spirit could come about in us, which is only made possible through our submission and, you know, genuine love for Jesus Christ. I have it noted here, if you guys could turn with me as well, to John chapter 14, verse 27. Luckily, this is all in the New Testament, so you don't have to go too far. That's John chapter 14, verse 27. And for those who are there, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And I found that verse very encouraging for me in my early Christian life, when I really struggled to break free from a lot of what was feeding into my flesh and what was keeping me trapped in those cycles and in that mind of self-pity and condemnation. This verse really spoke out to me and told me to trust in the Lord and to lean on Him in everything that I do. And to think that, you know, I am here today experiencing the love of Christ, and everything that He's done for me is completely beyond me, you know? Yeah, I gave up on life so many times, you know, made a few attempts and everything like that as well. But every single time the Lord came through for me and He saved me. And now that I'm alive, like, still here, weird way to say it, like, all glory to God, really protecting me and, you know, showing me what's in store. That love of God, the love of God through people, through friends and family, the supernatural work that He can do in my life that, you know, only He could do, and nothing in my strength could bring about any of that, right? And in the face of life's problems and, you know, stresses and challenges and details, I used to question earlier on, am I making the wrong decision, right? Sometimes you feel like you're blindly following the Lord and you're like, am I doing this right? You know, like, what if I go down the wrong path? What if this, you know, decision comes back to bite me? And what I've come to learn is that if your heart is truly longing and surrendered to the Lord, trust that if you are making the wrong decision, that the Lord will redirect you according to His plan and His steps that He has for your life. That remember that the Lord will not lead you astray, that His plan for your life is for your good and for to bring about the most growth in your character, not only to bring you closer to Him, but to convey that love and equip you to love others the way He sees fit, right? And the thing about life as well is that God, however, does not promise to solve all of our problems immediately. He does not promise to get us out of hard circumstances, heal our melanoma, bring back that ex-girlfriend or boyfriend that we're so heartbroken over, or to solve all of our finance issues when we want Him to. But if you turn with me, we're still right there in John 16:33. I think it's 16:33. Yes. 16:33, John chapter 16:33. It says, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He told you to take heart because He has overcome the world for you, right? I mean, we can look at life, each and every single one of us, and we can agree that, you know, life is unfair, that we live in a world, it's a cursed world full of sin and corruption and hard times around every corner. But there's one thing above all, just like the beautiful lyrics of that song, you know, above all, and the chorus, "Crucified, laid behind a stone," is that God cares and that God loves us. And those two facts will never change, ever, ever, ever. We look at the crucifixion, we look at God's death and resurrection, ultimate example of genuine and true love, because we were undeserving. We're the same people that spit in His face, the same people that put the crown of thorns on His head, and ultimately, you know, put Him to death. But regardless of that, God says that He wants to be a part of every detail in your life and in my life, and to grow our character. Not necessarily give us a perfect or problem-free life on here on earth, where, you know, you get the dream job, you have the Disney love story, you know, with the Princess and the Prince, or be healed from every single disease. But what does He promise? He promises to grow our character, our spiritual life, to give us a deep strength that's only possible through the Lord, that will equip us to deal with the painful experiences that life throws at us, right? And in saying that, I think it's extremely important to feel what we have to feel, but do it with the Lord. You know, sometimes with grief, what I used to do, you know, like work a lot, keep busy, just kind of distract myself from the pain that it brought, right? But the important part is to, God gave us emotions to feel, and it's important to let it run its course, but do so with the Lord. Grieve with the Lord. The Lord is with you. The Lord will give you that hug spiritually, you know, encourage you with the Word. He's put like a body of Christ, like all of you guys here, to encourage each other when we're going through those challenges and those hard times, right? To just deal with those awful and painful experiences. But in the Gospels, God does promise one thing. He does promise to solve all of our problems, actually, but by giving us eternal life, which is only possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, that expression of love. And if you think about it, the greatest expression of love is for someone to give their life for another, right? There's absolutely no self involved in that, in that action when you do that for somebody. And as we all know, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And so there is a happy ending for all of us, you know? that there is, you know, right now life's problems are tough. It's important to acknowledge that struggle. But the great part is, you know, God is with us, every single part. But you have to grab the Lord's hand. It's constantly extended, but you have to grab it and invite Him to every single part of your life. And just to conclude here, sometimes during prayer meeting, I go up to Pastor Paul. "Oh, Pastor Paul, have you seen what's going on in the world? You know, that I had this such a hard day. You know, like, life is so scary. You know, like, what if when I have kids, what the world's going to be like? Blah, blah, blah." And Pastor Paul always tells me the same thing. He's like, "You know, Tyler," he's like, "80 years here on earth would seem so small in the face of eternity." And he's like, "Yeah, there will be some struggle, but there's so much consolation in knowing that the Lord is with us, you know, through every struggle. It's not like the Lord's going to leave us high and dry. You know, He's like, okay, I died on the cross. You know, like, the rest is up to you. You know, you got this." No, no, no. The Lord loves us so much. And it's like adopting a pet. You know, you go to the shelter, you adopt a pet, and you're going to be like, okay, that's it. You know, you're not going to feed them, walk them, take care of them. But no, of course not. You're going to feed them, tend to their needs, make sure they're happy, play with them, right? And the Lord does the same for us. Not that the Lord sees us as a pet, you know, it's a bit more than that. He sees us, you know, as like a best friend. He sees us like a son and a daughter. And yeah, there's a unique love that He shares with us. And yeah, so be of good cheer. Know that the Lord is with you always and constantly, even at the times where it doesn't feel like it. And just let the Lord work in your life and transform. You know, sometimes it's about taking that leap of faith, you know. Some people say, "Jesus, take the wheel." Whatever it is, you just let God do that work in your life. And you can watch and sit back and just see what God does. Yeah, it may not always be ideal how you envisioned it. A lot of the times you envision an answer to prayer looking a certain way. But just surrender and let God. For a lot of what God answered in my life is not what I expected. It's not exactly how I thought it would turn out. But it works, and it works even better than I thought, what I envisioned, right? So, regardless of what we go through, be happy. Know that you're loved, you know, regardless of what anybody says, any circumstance, no matter, you know, what your parents tell you, what your friends tell you, family, is that there's one thing that will always be consistent and never change through anything in life, and that's the love of God.